For our next guest, we're going to continue with this theme of organizing for innovation. Rich Carlgaard joins us now. Rich is a publisher of Forbes magazine. He's author of the Forbes Innovation Rules column, and he's co-author with Michael Malone of Team Genius, the Science of High-Performing Organizations. There have been tons of books on teams and teamwork. Why did you think we needed another one?
Well, my author and I both live in Silicon Valley, and we were having coffee one day, and we noticed how many, or we were talking about how many great companies from Hewlett-Packard and Apple and Google and others were formed by small teams, not by a solo person. And why was that? And what lessons do these small teams, pairs, trios, quartets, what might they have for larger organizations? So we hired a doctoral candidate at another top business school to go through the literature in neuroscience, sociology, anthropology, and so forth to look into this idea of what causes small teams to succeed. What about their composition? What about their size? What about disagreement versus agreement within a team? And we feel that the world is moving so fast today that even large organizations have to figure out a way to blow up the org chart and really give power to small teams within their organizations if they're going to move fast enough to keep up with all the disruption around them.
And one of the stats that I loved in the book was you say that small teams are 40% more likely to create a successful breakthrough than a solo genius, which kind of puts a pin in that idea of that lone genius in the garage inventing something insanely great. What's behind that?
And you use the word insanely great, and of course Steve Jobs used that word. And of course Steve Jobs is the great mythical innovator of our time, bless his soul. And I think the myth about Steve Jobs is that he did it alone, when, of course, any examination of his life sees that he was exceptionally good at pairing up or finding small teams around him to really allow him to shine. I mean, whether it was in the beginning by pairing up with somebody who was his opposite in many ways, Steve Wozniak, to most recently having a great team around him with Tim Cook on operations, Johnny Ive on design, and all the people that made the Apple of today the most valuable company in the world.
And one of the things you talk about in the book is diversity. Do you think diversity gives you that agility?
Oh, absolutely. But diversity needs to be thought of in a different way than it is currently thought of. Now, diversity, gender diversity and ethnic diversity are very worthwhile goals. Companies rightly need to become more ethnically and gender diverse because there's been prejudice in the past. But to stop there and simply merely check off these legal boxes is to make a big mistake, because if you have, let's say, really good ethnic and gender diversity, but everybody came from the same school or had the same background and generally thinks the same way and looks at the world the same way, then you really don't have the kind of diversity that is useful inside of a company. What you want is thinking style diversity. You want left brain thinkers, right brain thinkers. You want experienced people who know where the traps are, but you also want fresh eyes who are more willing to take on risk. You want rebels. You want conformists. You want a mix of these people, because without a mix of those people, you're not going to get the whole brain view. You're not going to get what one professor called the creative abrasion that brings out the best ideas. You've got to take the risk, even though it's a harder management trick. You've got to take the risk of people who don't think alike, because I told the example of Tony Fadell. Tony Fadell used to work at Apple. He was instrumental in bringing the iPod to market, working alongside of Steve Jobs. A couple years ago, he started a company called Nest, which makes a smart thermostat. Google bought it last year for $3.2 billion. And Tony talked about how it's so important at Nest to have left and right brain thinkers, to have algorithmic thinkers and intuitive thinkers in the same room. If you're trying to design great software with a really great human interface, which is what Apple is so good at and which the Nest smart thermostat is really exceptionally good at, you've got to have more than just software coders. You have to have people with really good human intuition in the room at the same time. It's because they bridge those two worlds. They have really great sound, fundamental hardware and software, but they have this human interface that is better than anybody else's. At least that's what the marketplace says about Apple. And that's, you only get that when you have diverse thinking styles. You can't get that if you have all hippies or all technologists in the room. You've got to have a mix of both.